Well, thank you, Pastor. Again, it's always a privilege to be here and a whole lot of fun. You know, you can tell when you got an older guy in the sound booth, you know, running the overhead projector and all, because he uses large font. Are you all with me here? You know, I go to these places, I can tell it's a young buck who's running the sound system or doing the overheads because it's that itty bitty bitty print and us old folks can't even read it. So I appreciate, brother, your, again, concern for the elderly such as myself. And again, putting up there so we can all can see it. Very good singing. Thank you again for that ministry and song to my heart. I hope today has been a blessing for you thus far and it'll even be more so here tonight. You know, it's always fun to have some visitors and some other folks participating via the internet and stuff like that. And it's been a blessing. Pastor said there's about 60-some or better people. Did you say that? How many did you say? How many on the Facebook? About 64 folks watching on Facebook. So welcome to you. And again, we're glad that they're also enjoying this time of worship with us. Now, before I get rattled on too much and telling too many stories, let's go ahead and bow our heads and hearts, and then we'll get into tonight's message. Heavenly Father, we rejoice and thank you for this time. Lord, I just pray again you'll just awaken our minds and hearts to your truths. And Lord, use this message to make us better for you and more productive. So, Lord, we just rejoice in the fellowship we've enjoyed thus far. And now, Lord, the fellowship we get to enjoy with you through the blessed word of God. God, we just need to grow. We just need to be more prepared to, again, do more for the cause of Christ. And I pray, Lord, as a result of tonight's challenge and our right response to these truths, that we will be more productive for you in the days to come. Lord, the devil's going to be kicking up a storm the next few days in this whole year with this Christian school open up. The devil's been trying to shut down any church or anything that really exalts the name of Jesus. And God, I just pray you'll put your arms of protection around this church, around this school, around those students and teachers. And Lord, again, just bring an obvious work from on high to this place. So Lord, we love you. We thank you again for this time. And God, we just rejoice in your goodness, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, as I start this message, I'm going to do a little review for some of you. But you know, the nice thing of having more mature Christians in the congregation, I can preach the same thing every time I come and they don't remember. Y'all with me here? So that's kind of good, but you always have that one lady or that one guy that writes down the message, the text, and the date. And they always have the irritation response to come and make sure they show me that if I happen to repeat a message. And that's all right. I forget what I preach too, but folks, if I preach the same message this morning 10 times, we'd need it 10 more times, because those kind of truths, folks, can never be highlighted or presented too little, that's for sure. We need to bring them on more and more. So let me start this way. I think you remember, I didn't get saved till I was in my 20s. I was 22 years old. But that all started with my little brother going to a church camp, a non-Bible preaching camp at the age of 15. He received Jesus as his personal Savior. Then because of his testimony and a faithful businessman, my dad at the age of 42 accepted Jesus as his personal Savior. So folks, we didn't grow up being spoiled with Bible teaching like you folks have been spoiled with just good Bible preaching. It was all new to us. And I tell you what, we just were like on a treasure hunt every day at the family business. Now, a reminder of our family business, we owned a Ford dealership from the 50s up through the 80s. And the only reason we stopped having a Ford dealership in the 80s because Ford Motor Company wanted us to rob Peter to pay Paul. My dad, as a Christian, wouldn't do that as far as parts and service and those things are concerned. And my dad just took a stand and did what's right. And he closed out as a new and used operator of the automobile sales presentation. And my dad, you think I'm a loud person? You should have met my pops. You think I'm crank, pumped, and Baptist-costal? My dad makes me look calm, cool, and collected. He was that excited for the things of Jesus Christ. Well, living biblically for our family was a new ballgame. Now, we were religious, but Dad would send us to church because that's where the people had the money, you know, and that's where we built a clientele as far as our business is concerned. But there wasn't anything in it, really, as far as glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ and growing in a spiritual fashion. So again, we were digging through the Word of God. And you know what? It was amazing. We had people all over the place just calling us, hey, where do you find this passage? You know, where do you see this in the Word of God? Because, folks, again, we were in a very liberal, non-Bible preaching church, and folks were hungering and thirsting for truth. And because my dad was fanatical enough to put on the front of the car dealership, Christ is the answer, they were looking the answers to answers about the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, what a fun, interesting, impacting ministry we had as a family. I really believe more people were saved in that car dealership than all the churches combined in the county. Because I'm telling you, they were coming to see what happened to this Maynard family. We were the rascals. We were the people that had the nicest house, drove the nicest cars, and now we're doing this Jesus thing. We scared the county half to death. Because my dad was the head of the county council. He ran for judge. He was a good hoopster guy. My mom was a cheerleader. My brother was the basketball star. My sister was a cheerleader. And I got stuck with this warped, weird personality. But you know, we were the people you were intimidated to witness to. But folks, those people need Jesus too. Those people are hollow inside, and only Jesus can fill the void in their heart, life, and in their soul. And we're so thankful folks came after us concerning the relationship that's available in Christ Jesus. But here's what we learned in a hurry. There's a lot of confusion and varied perspectives concerning the Word of God. Can I have an amen for that point alone? There's confusion out there, folks. There's a lot of guessing and maybe and hope so. And folks, not a whole lot of thus saith the Lord being done in Christianity today. So my dad, a very smart guy, you know, not really in book learning. He probably didn't read a whole book until he got saved, and that was the Word of God. My dad was a baloney breath. He could wing it and get it done better than most people who were highly educated and again, all this, that, and the other. You know what he did? He always surrounded himself with very wise, capable people that help get the job done. That's what pastor does. He doesn't have a clue what's going on. He just smart enough to hire you people out there to again get the job done. You know that that's called humor people watching via Facebook. But you know, dad was very successful and he became more successful and God honored his choice again to put Christ first and to do a business that was for Jesus Christ. But my dad, all the time, we'd sit around, folks, I'm telling you, we would stop from selling a car just to have an opportunity to witness somebody about Jesus. We'd have people lined up in our lobby area wanting to talk to the boss, Bobby Baby, they called him. But my dad was in his office, had some guy cornered, and was introducing him or her or them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what the business was all about. Yeah, the selling the stuff supported our ministry, but you know, Jesus was our ministry first and foremost, and God very much honored that. But here's what my dad would tell us boys, my brother and myself, all the time. Boys, there's a lot of stuff going out there, and you need something very, very specific. Now, folks, he didn't say this once. He probably said it 1,000 times. Like nothing else, you need to pray for discernment. Now what's discernment? Well, having, again, understanding between right and wrong, truth, error, good guys versus bad guys, understanding from on high how to make better, best, good, better, and best choices. Now, Spurgeon, y'all know that name probably, an old commentary guy, preacher. He says discernment is more than just differentiating between right and wrong. It's recognizing what's almost right. Well, that's a good statement, isn't it? Were you listening? Let me do that again. Discernment is more than just differentiating between right and wrong. It's recognizing what's almost right. Now, a guy that you're probably more familiar with, a guy who just took a stand for the cause of Christ in California, John MacArthur, he put it this way. He says, the key to living an uncompromising life lies in one's ability to exercise discernment in every area of his or her life. He went on to say, careful distinctions in our thinking about truth. So kids, what messes up our decision-making process? Well, it's our opinions, our preferences, our selfish desires, and usually that's directed by our ignorance or rebellion against the Word of God. What did we talk about this morning? What matters the most, folks? What matters to God? Nothing should matter to you more than that which matters unto God. In other words, what God says and what God has ordered up to be His blessed perfect will. Now, this kind of approach to life will be a battle between the flesh and the spirit, I'm telling you right now. And the world is going to tug on you, pull on you, and do everything it can to reel you in. and make you be foolish in your decision-making process. But through the power of God, you can experience victory the way God wants you to experience victory. Now, is this missing in the world that's before us today? Talk to me. Yeah, big time. We're in the age of what I think, what I want, what I feel, rather than what God says or what God wants. So in reality, folks, we need to humble ourselves and cry out and say, Lord, I need you more than ever. And very specifically, just like my dad pounded into our brains, hey, you need to pray for discernment. Why do we do that? So we can attain to the goal. What's the goal for every believer? Not my will, but thy will be done. Folks, why do we have empty pews in local churches like this? Because most of the time we're just busy and not busy about the master's business. We're not really the aggressive soul winners and ministers of God we're supposed to be, or we'd be reaching our Jerusalem the way we're supposed to be reaching our Jerusalem. And I might park on that even more on Wednesday night, so don't dodge the bullet of conviction. Trust me, you're going to need what God's going to bring your way on Wednesday night. But folks, again, we don't have to just have memorized Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It's a promise from on high that if we trust in the Lord with all our heart, that's just all you got. That's who and what you are. Every fiber of life and living you are, if you trust in the Lord with all your heart and stop listening to you, because you're going to dodge the bullet of responsibility and the laziness and pride-filled whatever's of your flesh. But trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Stop listening. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. Oh, boys and girls, friends and neighbors, he promises he shall not maybe direct your path. Now, the question of the hour is how badly do you want God's will? Do you really want to be bothered with truth? Well, this pursuit is an on-purpose, all-the-time endeavor of life. Now, I'm going to give you a real simple outline tonight, but we're going to look at several passages of Scripture just to back all this up. And here's the outline if you're taking notes, you know, at home or you're again here in the congregation. We're going to talk about how God commands this pursuit of discernment. Secondly, how God supplies it, and then the responsibility of pursuing this needed commodity in our lives called discernment. I want you to take your Bibles. God commands it. That's where we're going first, of course, to 1 Thessalonians. Can you find that? 1 Thessalonians goes from the big T books to the little T books. I learned that as a new believer. Yeah, go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Every once in a while, just read chapter 5 pretty consistently. It gives so many just very pointed statements of God's will for our lives. And in the midst of that, it tells us, again, how we need to pursue what God's thinking is and how to put it into practice. Look with me at chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and go down with me to verse 21. Now, kids, prove. What does that mean? It means find out. Prove all things. Now, people, again, like this morning, does all things mean all things all the time, all things? Yeah, but we think we're smarter than we are. Well, I got that one down. You still need to ask God what he knows and what you should know. In all your ways, remember, in all things. Now, again, we get a little big for our britches spiritually because you're smarter than this guy or you're smarter than that person. And you, again, get so full of yourself, you don't stay humble before holy God and say, God, am I thinking right? God, am I just kind of thinking I'm thinking the right thinking? Or am I truly think? Because when I'm thinking right, what, folks? I can do what's right. So it says, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good, and even to this depth and degree, abstain from all appearance of evil. Don't let your good be evil spoken of. If you're in Christ Jesus, live the life. Your neighbor drives you nuts, well, still, let's just be nice, you know? And again, don't react in the flesh. Deal with things in a very biblical perspective and represent Jesus. Go back in your New Testament a little deeper here to 1 John. Go to 1 John, if you would, those three small books there that are packed with just powerful truths. Go to 1 John chapter 4, and again, the challenge that, hey, God commands us to pursue this discernment. It says in chapter 4 and verse 1, beloved, that's talking to us believers. Now, why does he say this to believers? Because a natural man receives what? Not the things of the Spirit of God. For those watching via technology, you can't understand this book until you get saved. And until you get saved, you don't have the Holy Spirit of God indwelling you. And you need to receive Jesus, so the one that will bring understanding, one that brings the love of God, one that brings the power from on high. You need the Holy Spirit of God. And He's the one that will again give you this click the light bulb on as far as understanding on how this all works. It says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits where they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, that has come in the flesh, is of God. But again, what is the command? Find out if it's the truth. But we just go, well, he's a nice guy, it sounds good to me. Folks, that doesn't matter. You still have a responsibility to make sure it's not an opinion or a very smooth-talking presentation. What does God say? Let's go to one more here. Go to Ephesians chapter 5, would you please? Now, you know, I love, like you do, the book of Ephesians. Just this whole section of Scripture is so practical to every aspect of who and what we are in Christ. But I've even preached this. I looked in my notes. I preached a message on the statement that defines you. I think I did it with our last revival back in, I think it was in 16. And I gave the challenge, hey, here's what it says in Ephesians chapter 5, but I just want to go to one aspect that, again, that's the pursuit of the right kind of thinking to do the right choosing to please God. Look down with me, first of all, chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 10. It says, here's that word again, prove, or proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. You know, do you do that on your journey, on your trip down the path of righteousness? You say, God, how am I doing? Am I hitting a nail on the head? Am I ringing the bell as far as what you truly want to have done? Again, most of the time we don't do that. Why? Because we want to go where we want to go and do what we want to do when we want to do it. And folks, that's so far from getting it done in a God-honoring fashion. So find out, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Then go down with me to verse 17. It says, wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Kids, let me ask you a question. Children, look at Mr. Maynard. Look at the shiny, bald object up front. Are you confused when mom and dad want you to do something? Are they pretty clear about it? Clean up your room? Make sure you pick up your toys. Make sure, please, for all our sakes, brush your teeth. Boys, did you hear me? Some guys that are getting like into junior high age, they don't even have a toothbrush, let alone use it, you know. You lose your teeth when you're about 17, I doubt you'll get married. Partials look good, though. But folks, listen. We're not confused as parents, hopefully, on what we want our children to be and do. But I can tell you, most certainly, God's never confused. As our loving Heavenly Father, He knows what's needed and best for our lives. And why aren't we plugging in to what He's trying to teach us and how He's looking to guide us? Look back again. Be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Not playing hide and seek with His will. But go back a verse or two and go to verse 15. It says, see then that ye walk, how, folks? Circumspectly. Now, we don't use that word, kids. That just means cautiously. Walk cautiously, not as fool, but as wise. So, folks, discernment was a good challenge given of my father. I think it's a great challenge in this time we're in for you on purpose to pursue this thing called discernment. God commands it. Let's go to the second thing. God supplies it. He's the source of this kind of understanding. Go to 2 Peter, if you would, please. 2 Peter, you know where I'm heading. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, and hopefully you're very familiar with this section of Scripture. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. It says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. What's that talking about? When you got saved, you get what it takes to be faithful. You get what it takes to do the will of God. You've heard me say this probably 100 times. God never orders up anything in your life that He won't in turn give you what it takes to be faithful and get it done in a way to please and honor Him. The only reason we mess up, folks, is because we get in the way of what God is looking to do in us and set forth through our lives. So, folks, it's out there. It's available. We could even go to 1 Peter chapter 1 if you go there. It talks again through this whole section of Scripture on how, again, we have that hope, that help, that wherewithal through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, again, that God that dwells within us. So God commands it. We're supposed to understand that God supplies it. He is the source, but you have to pursue it. Here's a statement. It's our responsibility to find out what is right in God's sight and love Him enough to choose what pleases Him. Prove your love unto Jesus. You remember the little chorus I do on the CD? If you love Him, if you love Him, you'll learn what's right, you'll learn what's right. If you love Him, if you love Him, you'll do what's right. If you love Him, you'll fight the fight. Why? To show Jesus just how much you care. Pretty simple, isn't it? But isn't that how we demonstrate our love to one another? You know, isn't that how a child shows how much they love mom and dad? Or, you know, how you, again, demonstrate love to anybody. You don't just say it, you display it. And again, you're concerned about their want to. And again, being compatible and, again, very on purpose as far as showing, hey, I care about you. And I'm thankful you care about me. Now, I want you to turn to James chapter 1 again, turn to James chapter 1. And of course, this is where it deals with, you know, whatsoever state you're in there, just rejoice, you know, count it all joy. And that's in verse 2 of this chapter. But here, of course, we're dealing with wisdom, and I want to park on that because these just all blend together. How can I do that if you don't know what He wants? How can I demonstrate how much I care for Jesus? Well, James chapter 1 and verse 4 says, let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect, that's just mature, given unto understanding, entire, wanting nothing, yielded to the will of God. But look at this promise. If any of you lack wisdom, well, let him ask. You don't know? Well, God wants you to know. We've established that already. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not. And I always do this when I preach this passage, because who in the world uses upbraideth? Kids, what does upbraideth mean? It means he doesn't hold back. He's got enough for you. And he never tires of giving you illumination to your mind and heart so you can understand and put into practice, demonstrating your love for him, exactly what God orders up in this book. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God to give it to all men liberally, and again, doesn't hold back, and it shall be given unto him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Again, folks, confusion like I've never seen in my Christian life in Christianity today. And I went through the 70s with the upheaval of the charismatic movement. I mean, that just was trying to overtake and just ruin and run down even fundamentalism back there. But folks, it's even a bigger mess today than it was back then. And can I give you an encouragement warning? It's going to get worse before it gets better. As the end draws nigh, things will wax worse and worse. And that's not just in the world. That's even in so-called Bible-believing, God-honoring churches. And folks, again, hang on for the ride and trust in the power and wherewithal of God. Let's keep, again, in this thought and mindset about wisdom and go to James chapter 4. You know, folks, I was told as a young Christian, and I've probably stated this because I want it to echo in your brain like it does with mine, a proverbial day will help keep sin away. I was told that as a young believer. But in Proverbs, go with me to chapter 4, and let me just remind you of what it says in this passage concerning the pursuit of discernment. In chapter 4, And I'm going to start reading. I love to just preach the whole passage here. But it says in let me go down to verse 4. I'll do 4 through 8. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, verse 5. Get understanding, forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom with all thy getting, get understanding. What's going to happen? Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. So let me package this and just wrap it up. You're almost done. Boy, would you come and preach every week? Because Pastor doesn't go this week. I don't usually. This is just a quicker one. Our goal is faithfulness. Y'all with me on that? And we want to make sure we don't mess up God's call upon our lives or what God's looking to do through us in ministry endeavor. And all that will be determined by the choices we make and who we're here to please. And the obvious need that we have of the hour is, again, to cry out for discernment. Now, remember, don't just pray for discernment in the biggie decisions. It's, again, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. Why? To cover every aspect of your life, your attitude as well as your action, and submitting to God's authority, fulfilling responsibilities with excellence, even in the so-called times of, oh, brother, I don't think this is necessary, and where you refuse to go there and do that. Why? Because you're not listening to what God's saying and care more about doing what you think or feel is right instead of the truths of thus saith the Lord. And we do that, you know, Pastor, we just went to another aspect of recording on the Facebook endeavor here. But I'm almost done anyway, okay? They just lost me. So now can I sing and dance at the same time since we're not? No, I'm not going to do that. But folks, listen, what's the attitude and heart to approach this? Here it is. Heartily as unto the Lord. That's all messed up. It'll distract me and probably come to your ears too. So heads bowed and eyes closed, if you would, please. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Now, folks, as you approach this school year, and I know we've got a lot of the faculty here in this group tonight, boy, you're going to need this school year. You've never faced some of the battles that are before you. I mean, there is fear that is abounding, and fear, folks, can paralyze us. And again, draw us close to listening to our flesh instead of listening to what God is ordering up. So like never before in your ministry endeavors, pray specifically, without apology, that God will get your thinking hooked with His thinking, your heart with His heart. And maybe in this service tonight, have a prayer of dedication saying, oh God, I don't want to mess this up. I don't want to mess up any aspect of what You're trying to do in me or through me. Oh God, what confusion abounds today. God, please give me discernment. Not just to know what's right, but as Spurgeon said, to understand what's almost right. So we can not just make a good decision or a better decision, but the best decision, the one that clarifies without question what godliness is and being Christ-like and what it's all about. And folks, pray specifically until Jesus takes you home for this wonderful commodity of success, discernment. Heavenly Father, we thank You and praise You, Lord, for this opportunity of charge and challenge from the Word of God. Lord, I just pray that we, again, very tenderly and very and kind of on the edge of our seat mindset, Lord, absorbed what was brought forth here tonight. Lord, we don't want to get caught up in the gobbledygook confusion of Christianity today. We don't want to get caught up like Demas and love the world more than we love You. Oh God, we want to stay faithful. And hear You say when we meet You face to face, good job. Well done, thou good and faithful servant of God. Lord, some of these old salty dogs of Christian life and living, they've been doing this a long time, but they can grow stale. They can grow very self-sufficient because been there, done that. and they get in routine mindset instead of reliance mindset. They know what that means, hopefully, Lord. They start trusting in their experience, trusting in what they have done or what they can do, instead of that, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. And Lord, I know the devil's going to try to slip in a blow them up from the inside out working this school year, in this year of COVID upheaval. But God, this church is going to rise above that by your wisdom, by you, God, bestowing to their minds and hearts this wonderful, wonderful, impacting, guiding truths, guidance of truth called discernment. So, Lord, even right now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, Lord, help them to think this over. But, Lord, with commitment of heart, cry out very specifically, God, don't let me blow this. God, help me. Awaken my mind. Help me to be a person of discernment, God, because I want to please, honor, and glorify you. Lord, again, thank you for our time here today. And God, again, we're looking forward to the ministry opportunities that are before us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.